that sound, like that recording, is the Venomous Pinks. Like if you were to go to a show and watch us, that's what you would hear, is just balls to the wall, like snarls and, all that good stuff.
The Venomous Pinks, how are you doing?
Good. How's it going, dude?
Good.
Hey, right on. Yeah, we've got Gabby, Drea, and Cassie from the Venomous Pinks here today, a band that I absolutely love. Like, I love your guys' music. I love your guys' live show. I think you guys are wonderful people. I'm really excited to see all the things that you guys have been up to. And, I'm glad to have you on the show so we can talk about it. So the Venomous Pinks are a three-piece punk rock outfit from Arizona. And you guys have been doing this now for several years. You have like a couple of releases under your belt. You've gone on tours, you've done some festivals. Certainly within the scope of the greater punk rock scene, you guys have, hit a lot of the heights that a lot of bands try to get to. So congratulations for all of that. But I would love to talk to you about the history of the band, what you guys have been up to, where you're going, maybe talk a little bit about what you've been doing during the pandemic. But I guess to start, as a brief introduction, like I said, we've got Gabby here, Drea, and Cassie. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Gabby and Drea, you both live in Arizona, and then Cassie, you live in LA right now, right?
Yeah.
Always separate like that, or did it start with you? Because Cassie, you're a newer member of the band, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, got it. When did you join the band?
It was about 2 years ago.
Okay. And so when the band started, you guys were all in Arizona at that point?
Yeah. When the band started out, it was a Phoenix-based band. And up until it was like 2 years ago, we went separate ways with our original drummer. And then we found Cassie through a different tour we did with Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Go Betty Go, and then Glam Skanks, and Cassie was drumming for Glam Skanks at the time, so we kind of connected with her that way. And I mean, we just, like, hey, would you have any interest in like jamming with us, or and she said hell yeah, and I was like, really? All right.
Yeah.
So it just kind of happened from there. It was like we all just kind of made the commitment to each other that we'd make it work, even though it was going to be long distance. It was going to be a little bit more of a challenge, but mm-hmm. We all agreed that we would put in that work to make it work. And it's been fucking rad. So I'm super happy with it.
Yep. We just got back from LA this weekend. So we're making it work. So switching off and off. So.
Yeah.
How long ago was that when the band started?
I think, so I started the band 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay.
And at the time, there was like not a lot of girl punk rock bands in Phoenix. And so that was the whole goal, was just to be like a badass girl punk rock band at the time. And it's just kind of evolved into what it is today. We've been around for a while. We've been around for a minute. So
now, prior to the Venomous Pinks starting, had you all been playing in other bands leading up to the Venomous Pinks?
I played in a band called, I'm trying to remember the name, Lookout Look. It was briefly though, and then I kind of took like a year break, and then I heard the Venomous Pinks was looking for a guitarist, so I hit him up. Or I don't know how it happened. We just, it's on the Twitter conversations we still have. So that's kind of, I was supposed to be their guitarist. And then that day they're like, yeah, the bassist quit. So I just grabbed my bass instead of my guitar rig and showed up to practice. So that's how I ended up being the bassist for the Pinks.
Yeah. And then I used to play in a band called The Dames, and they were like way older than me, but that was where like I really learned like the fundamentals of being in a band and like I guess the roots of it. And then I used to be in a high school band called My Doll, which is, yes, if you're listening, it's a play on the pill. So
yeah, I was, yeah, you said that, I was like, do you mean like the pill? Like the it's like a pain medication, right?
Yeah, it's for cramps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right on. So that's cool. What, so Venomous Pinks, where does that name come from?
That's, I guess it's open to interpretation. I hear a lot of different things. I hear it stands for a female anatomy, which is kind of hilarious to me, but honestly, I don't know. It just kind of, you know, it stems from like trying to be like a bad girl's club, kind of like the pink ladies in Greece, but there really is no like foundation to that name. It just sounded cool. And I was at the time with the original band members, we were just kind of playing off on names, and that one kind of stuck with us. So Venomous Pinks.
Yeah, that was kind of what came to my mind when I first heard the name, was something like coming off of like the pink ladies from Greece, like you said. So that's interesting that you say that. And I mean, like the whole female anatomy thing, I think that yeah, kind of like I can understand like where that's coming from, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's a cool name. I mean, it's definitely something that kind of keeps in your head, like when you see it for the first time. Like, so the Phoenix scene, you were saying you really wanted to start like a female kind of punk band within that scene. Was that something that was kind of absent like for a long time in the Phoenix scene? Like, were there very few, if any, kind of female oriented bands in the scene?
Yeah. So about 8 or 9 years ago in Phoenix, there was like female bands, but they were maybe like female fronted bands, I should say. And we really just lacked the all female group of that. But there's always been like a female present in Phoenix, but a lot of the times it's just, she plays bass or a singer or a guitar player.
And in the time that you guys have been a band, I mean, I know that you guys end up playing a lot of really awesome shows around there. Like, I mean, Tsunami Bomb actually kind of historically did 2 shows with you guys exactly 1 year after the other, which I thought was awesome. And they were both fantastic shows, but I mean, at this point, would you say that you guys are probably one of the more established kind of punk bands in the area at this point?
I would think so. There's like a lot of great bands in Phoenix, but yeah. We've been around, so like it's just, you know, it goes back to like just hustling and the hard work to like get on those bigger shows, and I mean, I think people know us. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The Pinks.
Yeah.
That's cool. Who else in the Phoenix scene right now is kind of doing some really cool shit that you would want to kind of call out?
I would definitely recommend checking out Playboy Man Baby, because those guys, they're like, they're punk, but like they're their own unique, different style. And I, you know, they get on festivals too, Punk Rock Bowling and all that kind of stuff. And they've got a great following in Phoenix. We haven't played any shows with them yet, so I think we should. And that, you know, kind of just to like bring the two different punk scenes together, I think it would be awesome.
Check out their TikTok. It's freaking hilarious.
They're killing it on TikTok, you say?
Yeah, they blew up on TikTok, just like random funny band stuff. Like, he does musicals. It's funny. I can't explain it. It's like Man Baby, Playboy Man Baby on TikTok, and that's exactly what you'll get. Like, it's weird and funny.
That's funny you bring up TikTok. I know that we've kind of talked about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know Gabby has a TikTok that you are utilizing quite a lot. So not to sidetrack too much, but you have a solo project that you've been recently kind of putting to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I've just always done like my pop punk thing. Like I'm a pop punk kid, so I always have like old songs from my old bands that I always wanted to do. And but now I'm doing them with the twist of kind of like that new style that's happening with like pop punk and hip hop. And so yeah, I'm trying it out, and the new single comes out the 14th of May. It's called Mystery, and I'm just self-releasing it. And I'm just trying to do that this year, just release more music and, you know, just make music, release it, and then just don't care about what other people say, just do it. So that's what I'm hoping to do.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's fantastic. I mean, because we were actually just talking about this, like a lot of musicians and a lot of bands just in general, there's this old kind of way of doing things where it's like, yeah, like you're getting ready to release your record, you partner with a record label, and then, you know, the idea is that they're going to help you with like releasing it and going through all those normal ways of doing it. But anymore, I mean, you have so many tools at your disposal to just put yourself out there. Like, I mean, TikTok, you can literally literally reach millions of people within the scope of like a day, you know, if your video just takes off. Whether or not that translates to like sales or plays is another story, but you can be seen, you know? And I mean, just imagine, you know, like if we would have had that, like in like the, I don't know, like the early 90s or like the late 90s or like the early 2000s or something like that. I mean, I can say for sure, like it would have completely changed the way that bands, like there would be bands that were probably totally in obscurity back then that would have obviously been elevated to like a whole nother level, you know? Versus the ones that kind of went through the major label kind of machine, you know, which was traditionally like how you would get in front of more people, you know. So it's kind of leveled the playing field in a lot of ways. And I mean, what's something that you guys are doing to kind of like separate yourselves from the rest of the punk pack, you know, given that we're all kind of looking for as many people's attention as we can. And how are you guys kind of trying to separate yourselves from the rest of the punk bands out there?
Cool artwork.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Artwork. like we pride ourselves pretty good on fucking awesome. Sorry, can we cuss?
Yeah.
Okay. Just having awesome t-shirt designs, and you know, awesome t-shirt designs equals sales. So. And everybody remembers it. Like they remember the name, they remember the cool. Yeah. Drea does a lot of like, not does the drawings, but she tells our guy to like crazy ideas that ideas, I don't know how you come up with. Like horror stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of horror themed stuff, or cats and pizza, but it's horror. It's awesome.
I think like the other thing that kind of just separates us from like the punk pack is that we're girls, but I mean, we're females, we're female musicians, but in a way we're not necessarily, you know, like we're just us, like we're big tomboys. We don't look like we're not out there in like high heels. Like we're just, there really is like no like antic to it. It's just like, okay, like get on stage, play your fucking heart out, play as hard as you can. And I think that does kind of, you know, make us a little unique to mm-hmm. punk rock in a way.
Yeah.
Who let the dogs out? Who's barking right now?
Yeah, they're in the back.
Oh yeah, here they are. That's cool. No, I mean, I've seen you guys perform now a few times, and I certainly think that you guys put it all out on the stage. I've certainly thought that you guys have that magnetism that a band kind of needs in terms of like when you perform. I think your recordings are fantastic. And one thing that I wanted to kind of segue into this new EP that you guys are releasing is live. You guys sound really, really tight and really well rehearsed, and just like, you know, a lot of bands, I mean, it's not that I don't think that a lot of bands don't take that seriously, but sometimes within like the punk scene, you do find that a lot of bands just like don't care about the way that they sound live, and it kind of gets lost in translation. But I think you guys are one of those bands that just kill it every single time. And, you know, with regards to this new EP, it sounds really, really good. So tell me about this new EP. And like, you know, it's a live EP. You recorded it up at the guys who do the Bridge City Sessions, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was recorded live there. And thank you for saying that. Yeah, like we've talked before, and like, you know, like Tsunami Bomb is my jam. Like I loved Tsunami Bomb in high school, and just like, I know you play guitar in them. So to hear you say like that my band is killing it, like I'm just like, oh shit, like oh. be cool. Like but to answer the question, yeah, like so we happened to be on tour, and we got just into that groove with each other to like, we were locked in. Like we were just like, yep, we're tight right now. And we set up the Bridge City Sessions with those guys and just went in there. And that story in itself is just kind of crazy. It was like a whirlwind day. Like you're familiar with Seattle, right? Like you've been to Dick's over there, like the hamburger spot.
I'm not sure if I have or not. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's like this infamous hamburger spot, I think. So like we had played a show the night before in Seattle, ended up at that spot and didn't probably go to bed till like 3:30 or 4. We had to be up early to drive from Seattle to Portland and make it into load-in time, which I think was like 12. So we're like little sleep, and you know how tour is, like you're just go and exhausted. But it was kind of funny because we got there at 12, and I guess the camera guys still had to work their day jobs. So it was us just kind of chilling and hanging out at the Bridge City Sessions studios in somewhere in like the warehouse district of Portland. And then we were playing that same night with Masked Intruder, the Bomb Pops, Tight Wire. And then we were opening. I think load in time was like 6 for us. It was like really early. I think the camera guys got there. I feel like it was like 4:30. And yeah. I mean, if you're listening, if you've been on set or shot a music video, you know, like they don't just show up and hit record. Like you got to set up lighting. They got to, you know, lock in whatever they're doing, their tripods. So it was literally like, all right, we're going to push record. You get to try it 2 times each song and that's it. And we're like, all right, cool. So we just fucking like flew through those songs, and you can kind of tell a little bit on the recordings because they're a little sped up than what's like on the produced record. But that sound, like that recording, is the Venomous Pinks. Like if you were to go to a show and watch us, that's what you would hear. It's just balls to the wall, like snarls and, you know, all that good stuff. So we just kind of wanted to like put something out for our fans, just so that, you know, they could have it, since we've all, you know, haven't been able to go to shows in the last year. So
yeah, out of curiosity, because I listened to the podcast episode that you guys did with like the story that you were talking about, and I thought it was really interesting, because yeah, tour life can get kind of hectic, and you're trying to make these, you know, certain, you know, deadlines for time. You're like, oh shit, we only have so much time. And like, oh fuck, are we going to do this? You guys mentioned that you guys like had, because they use a backline for their stuff, don't they, at Bridge City Sessions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully they had like a pretty good selection of amps and stuff to pick from.
Did you have to use your own drums though?
No, we had to use who was it? It was Master Intruders. We used their kit.
For the recording.
Oh, yeah. We use their drum kit. I use my own snare and my own cymbals, but yeah, they had the drum kit there.
Okay, yeah, because I know that especially drummers can be very particular about like the drum set that they're using.
Oh yeah,
guitar amps. It's like usually you can dial in a tone, you know, if you need it.
But I tell people it's like using someone else's guitar, pretty much. You know, like it's that different and that everyone has their own feel, and most of the time it's like completely different than what you prefer. You know,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and live recordings are always so tricky because in my experience, any bands that I've ever been in where we've sought out trying to record our live set at like a show in particular, like if we're in a place that we knew had the capability of like miking every amp and miking the drums really well and like making sure we could get a good mix, you know, it's kind of a good thing to get that because it kind of gives you a true understanding of how you actually sound, you know, because when you're in the moment, it's hard to always like know how good you sound at the time. But like with these recordings, it's particularly tough to like say, okay, this is good enough to release like to the public and say, this is a good representation of how we actually sound. But I will say those Bridge City Sessions guys, they seem to be able to dial it pretty good with a lot of the recordings that I've heard. So that's cool that you guys were able to do that.
Yeah. I think, if a band is going to, you know, wants to do live, I would recommend Bridge City Sessions. Cause they have like pre-COVID, they had like a lot of rad bands come through. And, I love going on the YouTube and watching just cause like you said, like it's that authentic vulnerability that a band can really show you what they're made of, how they're going to sound, and if you went to a show, that's probably what you're going to see. It's really cool.
So one thing I wanted to ask you guys was who were some bands that you would say are key influences on the Venomous Pink sound?
Well, it's a little different for all of us, but I'm asking all of you. Well, I'm like I said before, I'm a huge pop punk influenced person, so I bring a lot of the pop punkish woes and melodics and just the fun upbeat kind of stuff. But bands for me would be like Green Day, Alkaline Trio, Blink, you know, just that stuff.
Cool.
And I know for Cassie, almost the same.
Almost the same, yeah. For sure.
Sweet.
Yeah.
How about you, Drea?
Not so much me. Mine are more like so I think a common ground for the band would be bands like AFI, TSOL, Joan Jett is a big one. Riot Girl bands. What is a Riot Girl band these days? Like, I don't really feel like we sound like any of those, but I hear Bikini Kill a lot, which is a nice compliment. But I mean, I'm like, I love the Luna Chicks. I love the Donnas. So I guess you could say the Bay Area is. Bay Area bands influenced this band a lot.
Yeah.
Right on. And Cassie and I were just talking actually. So you were originally from the Bay Area and then moved to LA. And you mentioned that you joined the band Union 13, which I thought was fascinating because I'm like, holy shit, that's a band that I haven't heard of or thought about in a long time. But I definitely remember. Yeah.
Yeah. That's killer. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and you were with them, you said, for like 8 or 9 years?
Yeah, yeah. I actually met them in the Bay when they played Gilman. I went like super early and I got to hang out with them. They were there in their van and they were super nice and they were talking about how they needed a drummer. And I was just like, oh my God, you guys are one of my favorite bands. Like, please let me try out for you. Let me have a chance. You know, they're like, okay, well, send us a YouTube video. So a couple weeks later, I sent them a couple YouTube videos, which are still up on YouTube. And after that, they're like, all right, that's it. You're in. You got to move to LA. So I went from the Bay to LA, and I've been here ever since.
I think that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, they were a band that was certainly noteworthy for quite a long time.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Because they had an affiliation with Epitaph Records and like mm-hmm. those guys in Rancid.
Yeah.
We were talking about the fact that I had seen them years ago, back yeah. when I was in high school, when they yeah. did a tour with Voodoo Glow Skulls and stuff. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's killer. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, you guys have done a little bit of traveling. You guys have gone overseas before and done some shows. What are some of like the shows that you would say were like the big highlights for you in the time that the band's been around?
Playing with Tsunami Bomb twice at the Yucca Tap Room.
Oh, yeah.
One year apart.
It was Tsunami Bomb was one of my idols, you know, especially being from the Bay. Like, I was just like awestruck, you know, when they're like, we're playing with Tsunami Bomb. Like, no way. Yeah, so stoked.
Well, the pleasure was all ours. I mean, it was, I remember the band, especially like Dominic and Oubliette and Gabe in particular, not so much being nervous about that show, but them feeling like it was a really important show for us. Aww. That first time we played, because from what they've told me is that when the band was first doing, when the band was around for the first time, that Arizona and particularly Phoenix was a really important place for them, because that's where they kind of had one of their biggest audiences when they were first starting as a mm-hmm. band. And so I think for them, they might've actually been like maybe nervous about it, like thinking like, oh crap, like, are people going to remember us or everything like that? And and I can tell you without a doubt that everyone in the band was just like, dude, Phoenix is where it's at. Like Yucca Tap Room with you guys was one of my favorite shows like that we've played. It was killer. The energy was killer. You guys were killer. Yeah, that was a great time. So I mean, thank you. That means a lot. But I'm glad that you thought that was like one of the highlights. But
and for my brother too. That's who introduced me to you guys. Tsunami Bomb, my brother, he's 4 years older than me. So like he got into punk a little earlier than I did. So he was there and he was fucking stoked, like super excited, like front row singing to all the words.
Yeah, those were really fun shows. Mm-hmm. And you guys have played at like Punk Rock Bowling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. The main stage. Yeah.
Yeah. That's killer right there.
Yeah. That one's up there for sure. That was just, I mean, we're just a little band from Mesa, Arizona, you know, and just, we were on Squid Hat Records at the time, and they were just putting out that 7-inch of We Do It Better. And I remember like I got the call from Alan at Squid Hat. He's like, hey, I'm getting some slots at Punk Rock Bowling. Do you guys want to play Punk Rock Bowling? I'm like, oh, yes. Like, yes, yes. I would love to play Punk Rock Bowling. So yeah, that one was up there. That was crazy.
Yeah. It's cool. It's funny when those things happen. I remember I was in a band years and years ago, and it was like a skate punk band, and RKL was one of our collective like favorite bands. And, you know, they had not been playing for quite a while at that point. And out of the blue, we got a phone call from this promoter in Stockton, California. And she just, you know, said, hey, yeah, I'm looking for California Redemption. You know, we had spoken months ago about booking or whatnot, and I didn't have anything then, but I have a show offer. It's with this band called RKL. And I'm like, yes, the answer is yes. We would like to play. Like, I remember I confirmed it before even like asking the rest of the band. And I was like, guys, we're playing with RKL. They're like, what? those are great little experiences. And I see that you guys have Brackrock in Belgium on the books.
Yes.
I mean, at this point, is that still happening?
I think so. I mean,
yeah, I think so. I've heard it wasn't, I haven't heard from Brack Rock, like,
or Rebellion. We're supposed to play Rebellion too in Blackpool.
Okay.
Yeah. So two big festivals out there, hopefully.
Are you planning to do like an additional touring cycle between those?
Yes.
Is it on the books?
We're in the process of doing it, but it's just kind of like, it's hard right now just because everything's still kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I hope it works out.
Thank you.
Everyone seems to be so cautious about it, but optimistically cautious. And I think that's really the only way we can be to play it safe at this point. So keep the expectations a little bit more real and grounded, you know, knowing that it could be canceled or, you know, rescheduled.
Yeah.
For sure. Like we had a band meeting the other month with Lynn from Bad Cop. Cause she's producing our next album.
Awesome.
And she was just kind of like, real talk with you guys, that stuff's probably not going to happen. So just be prepared for that. And she's been doing this forever too. So I was just kind of like mentally like, there's a chance that we're not going to go again because of, you know, just the state of the world and COVID. And of course, you know, we want to be safe too. Which is, you know, concerning because Arizona out here, they're just kind of, you know, it's the Wild West and people, you know, they're booking shows again. And for me, it feels a little too fast, but I don't know. I mean, what can we do? Just really just play it by ear and see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, over the course of the last year, you know, musicians and small venues and promoters and people who work in the industry have been very severely affected by this. And, you know, it eats into some people's incomes, like for myself. And I think for you guys, you know, being in a band is not your primary source of income. So it's not so much a punch to the gut as it is just like, it's a bummer, you know, and we'd rather be doing it, but hey, you know, if it means, you know, that the world has a chance to kind of air out what's going on and move forward safely and soundly, then okay. Like, I'm willing to take that on the chin, but I have a good friend who has been doing live music production and stage management as a career for now, like upwards of 20 years. And it, I mean, talk about just the rug being completely swept from under him. And like 20 years is a long time to be in any industry at all. And so what do you do with that? Like, do you just transfer that to a desk job or like an at-home job, like taking like phone calls from like a call center or something like that? He could, but man, like that would be a bummer, you know, like to just have to make that change like that, like so drastically, you know. But I mean, I'm pulling for you guys to be able to make it work, and I hopefully it does, you know. But I'm glad to hear that you are keeping that mindset of like cautious optimism. Well, that's some awesome news to be working with Lynn. I mean, Lynn's awesome and Bad Cop is awesome. Are you like, what's the stage of that right now? Are you guys just demoing stuff right now?
So it's, we've worked through half of the songs, implementing Lynn's feedback in them. And then we've got another 4 or 5 songs to get like the notes back from her and then working on those. And then hopefully it's scheduling time to record, I think, in the summer, either here in Phoenix or to make it more convenient, like out in LA where Lynn is. So it's moving along. Like it's coming up. We were just in LA on Saturday and we worked on a lot of stuff song wise, and it's like, the new, like it's Pink's, but it, you can tell it's like just having her with her feedback, it like steps it up a little bit, and it's awesome. So it's exciting.
Next level Pink's.
Next level Pink's. I love it. Maybe that's the name of the
level.
That's the name of the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Level up.
Level up, Pinks.
Well, that's killer. So yeah, I mean, I wanted to move on to a couple of questions that I ask every guest that I have here. The first one being, if you had to name some bands that you really think that people should have on their radar right now, who would they be?
Decent Criminal. And that's not just because they're on your label. They're fucking awesome. Like when we interviewed you, I don't know, I researched your label and I'm like, I've heard of these guys before, but I never actually listened. Yep. It's killer. And everybody should need to check them out. They're fucking awesome. They remind me of the Men Singers, if you guys know who they are, but with a little, their own style. So they're awesome. I've listened to their whole catalog. So go listen to them.
Thanks. Yeah. Who else?
I would say I have a couple. Chaser. They just put out this record on Soundspeed Records, and it's badass. Like they fucking brought it. Like definitely check that out. Doc Hammer from San Diego, super hardcore, worth checking out. From Phoenix, there's It's Embarrassing, which they're the homies, like total like funny Riot Girl, like think of like Beavis and Butthead meets Riot Girl music, like it's great. And then Krang, which they're in Europe, but they're skate punk, and I really, really like what they're doing.
I want to throw in Casuist too, from out here from LA. They're amazing. They were on Bridge City, their live fest, and they've just did an EP, and they got like that sound, skate punk, really good, sick band.
Sweet. Yeah, Chaser, it's funny that you mentioned Chaser. Like, I don't know if it's because of like the types of people that I follow on Facebook, but literally every like fourth post for a while was just people talking about Chaser and their new record.
It's that good.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
amazing. Yeah. It's so
it's a
sick.
Really good record. Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I mean, it's funny. I still haven't listened to it. And I think it's like the universe is telling me, dude, listen to this record. Dude, I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah. Well, that's killer. I'll definitely add links to all those bands and so that people can check them out if they haven't heard them. Cool. But yeah, and then the last question that I really like to throw out to people, and I'm not sure, I think you mentioned that one of you was able to put together a list, but if anyone wants to throw out additionals, that'd be great. But if you were left with only five records to listen to for the rest of your life, like, you know, if you were trapped on like an island, what would they be?
So mine would be X, Los Angeles, TSOL's Dance With Me, The Donna's Skin Tight, Selena, live Selena, the Grammy winning live album she did, and Depeche Mode's Violator, because I got to dance too. So
I like that list. Yeah. That's a really good list. Yeah. It's like nice and kind of all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's all over the place too. I would do any Post Malone record. They're pretty damn good and catchy. Probably right now, the new Machine Gun Kelly album. It's like bringing pop punk back. And then I would do Alkaline Trio, This Addiction. That album is killer. It's got all the sad woes and the fun stuff. probably Blink-182 album, the Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. That was like, I grew up with that shit. So, and then, okay, so two more. The Living End, Modern Artillery, and Green Day's American Idiot. Those are my jams. So
nice. Yeah, that's a good list too. And I'm really glad you mentioned The Living End. Like, that is a band that I think deserves way more notoriety than they currently have. I mean, holy shit, that band is incredible. Like,
yeah, one of I got tattooed on my arm. That's their, like, back in the Modern Artillery area. That's Chris Shaney's guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a huge Living End fan.
Oh yeah.
I went through my rockabilly phase.
Yeah, I was able to see.
Didn't we all?
Yeah, my little pompadour.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing, you know, Prisoner of Society, you know, when it first dropped. And
oh, shit.
I was like, what is this? This is good. Like, and I fell totally in love with that record. And yeah, I've been following them ever since. And they're fantastic. Yeah. And Cassie, did you have a list?
I don't have a list, but my favorite album of all time, which is kind of random, but it's the most influential, is Deluced in the Calmatorium by Mars Volta. That's like my biggest influence on drums. Every single song I could listen to without skipping. So that would definitely be one of them.
I mean, yeah, talk about another record that just like hits you like an atomic bomb when you hear it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those guys from At the Drive-In, man, like everything that they've touched so far has been just incredible. And
yeah,
depending on what end of the spectrum you want to go with, because like, you know, here they are with like At the Drive-In, which is just this crazy like post-punk weird outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then two of them go on to do, well, three of them go on to do Mars Volta. And then,
yeah,
you know, originally three of them go on to do Sparta, which I think Sparta's great too.
Sparta's great too, definitely. Yeah.
Another undersung band in my humble opinion. And then, yeah, like, and then Mars Volta just like basically became Pink Floyd and just did their own thing and just was like, we're going to treat all of this as if you're on mushrooms and just, we're gonna go for it, you know? But anywho, thank you for that. I'm always interested in hearing what people's like kind of favorite records or like their go-to records are. So I appreciate it. But it's been wonderful having you on here. I love catching up with you. I really hope that Tsunami Bomb is able to play a show with you guys again soon. I did notice too, you guys are supposed to play with, what is it, Agent Orange later this year?
Yeah, Agent Orange back at the Yucca Tap Room. So
killer.
In that'll be a nice October. Return. Yeah.
Yeah. Agent Orange are always fun to watch live too. But and then you guys hopefully will get Brack Rock and Rebellion. And then I don't know if you guys are intending on going to Punk Rock Bowling if it happens or not, just as spectators or not, but I'm considering going to it. Let's hope that it happens because I think it's a great lineup. But new digital live EP, go check it out. They have a 7-inch that recently came out via Die Laughing Records, or you can get it from the band as well. The Venomous Pinks, lovely to have you. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks.